Blog Talk Radio.
Guitar solo. So we're going to have Gil Glasses from Utopia, Todd Runger's Utopia tour that was this year. If you missed it, you missed out on a wonderful tour with some wonderful shows. I'm your host, Doug. Cruiser Mel is taking a break tonight. It's her birthday. Happy birthday to Cruiser Mel. So if you want to call in tonight and talk to Gil, you're welcome to do it. 646-716-9262. And hopefully the chat's working for you tonight. You know how that goes with Blog Talk. We never know. But if you're in there, we appreciate it, and hopefully I'll get in so I can see if you have any questions in there. And let's get started with some announcements. First thing, big announcement came out today from Rex Rundgren on his Instagram and Facebook, saying that Todd will be part of a David Bowie tribute, which we already knew about in Iceland, but this one is going to be in Los Angeles, California, in America. That's right. Adrian Belew as well from the Bears. Going to be in L.A. October the 3rd, I believe, was the date. And it said something about VIP tickets going on sale soon that are for a private gig. So I don't know if that's an additional gig and there's a public gig or if it's just a private gig. And I can imagine they'll only do one show in the U.S. You would think they would do more. Could be a one-off. I do not know. That's all I know is what Mr. Rex said, so we'll go from there, but you're in the loop, so hopefully you get to see that. I know a lot of people were thinking about actually traveling to Iceland to see that show, but now you might be able to see it here, but it'd still be cool to go over there. It'd be a fun trip. All right, let's get in some other announcements. Where should we go with this today? How about Todd Rundgren's Utopia? Speaking of Gil and company, we're on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, July the 9th. If you missed it, you can see two of the videos, One World and Trapped, are available online. If you do a little Google action or you're a subscriber to our newsletter, we sent you the link. They did another song. They did the Icon, but I don't think it was recorded or will ever be put up on the Jimmy Kimmel YouTube, that kind of thing. And the audience, I was part of it, was not allowed to video it or take pictures. I know a few people snuck some, like Fernando, I think. But overall, that wasn't supposed to happen, so I'm sure nobody's got a full video of it. Todd and the band, I think, did that just as a special gift to the fans that were there. We stood in line for a while in the hot sun, and it was free, so that was nice. For three songs, really tight room, good crowd, as you could see and hear. They didn't have Todd on the big stage. It wasn't actually... Kimmel wasn't there, for example. I think Mariah Carey was there that day, and they were having some big shindig with her. So, you know, the main thing is he got to be on TV and promote himself because the tour was already over. Hi. If you are going to any of the unpredictable concerts, those have been announced. There's a big tour of Todd's doing this year. I think some more shows have been added in November, some West Coast shows. I'm not sure if there are still any pre-sales, but if there are, the passwords that have been common. The main one is Runt, but there's also been Hello and Wizard have worked for some of these shows. If you don't know, Unpredictable is Todd. They've supposedly memorized about 50 songs, and Todd just picks about 20 of them that night, random. The band doesn't know what's coming. The band's Chasm, Jesse. I'm not sure if Greg Hawks or Forensic or any keyboards are going. I think so. And then the drummer will be Prairie on occasion, then some guest drummers like Greg Bendian, who's done those shows with Todd before. So if you want to go to those, check it out on Ticketmaster and other sources. And be sure, I had this today on Facebook, be sure and make certain that you are going to the correct page to buy tickets. Ticketfly, Ticketweb, Ticketmaster. If you're not going to those type of sites, you may be going to a broker site. If you see something unusual, like a bunch of ticket prices, or they're sky high, you probably got snookered, because they do put their web links, they advertise, they put them at the top of pages when you search for Todd Rundgren Tours to trick you so that you will buy from them and they make money. So look out for that. Make sure you're buying from the official source, unless you have to go to a broker because it's sold out, like some of the shows probably are. So unpredictable coming up. But if you want to meet up with other Todd fans before the unpredictable shows, we have a page on Facebook called the pre-show meetups for unpredictable Todd Rundgren. Just put something like that in there and you'll find us. Or you can always email me at doug@rundgrenradio.com and I can direct you there. It's a public page, so anybody can join and you will see other fans, and we usually have, you know, pre-show meetups. Sometimes they're quite large, sometimes they're not, depending on the city and the state and all that good stuff. So even the smaller cities, I've seen some pretty big ones. Like, surprisingly, we had one in Biloxi, Mississippi, and it was decent. Todd's going back there for this tour, as a matter of fact. Looks like the chat room's moving pretty good, very good. That's good to know. Susie Richardson says, pre-show meetups are the bomb. There you go. All right, little RXI for you. We've kind of waited, wanted Todd Stock, the two first two to be over. Didn't want to interrupt with that and get in the middle of all that. But now that it is, we got to go ahead and put a little closure to RRXI with our T-shirts. We had an inventory issue and didn't get everything we had ordered. So we want to make sure people who went get what they ordered. And I know it's been kind of a pain. It's been a long time. But eventually everybody will have what they wanted. So we're doing another screen print. You got to let me know, because once we do that, that'll be it. You know, you can't screen print on the fly. You have to organize it and do it, because it's labor intensive and it's not cheap. So if you want to order one you didn't go, you're welcome to do that. If you want to order extras and you went and you want a long sleeve or a tank top or hoodie or whatever, hit me up, doug@rundgrenradio.com. We'll see what we can do. Most importantly, though, make sure if you went and you spent your money to go that you got your free shirt. And I want to make sure that you got that. I had a few people. I got an email today from somebody who said that they said they didn't get their shirts, and I wrote it down on a dollar bill. I'm sure that dollar bill never was seen again by me, or if it was, I had no idea what it said and why. But anyway, I'm glad they got in touch with me. I'm going to be able to hook them up with their shirts. And Linda Fisher's asking me, how do you send your old one back? So there were some issues, too, with the size. The small kind of reminded me of our AWOT shirts. They're like for children or something. I don't know how they come up with these things. But if you want to get a different size, smaller or larger, you're welcome to send me your shirt back. We'll talk about that. Just email me and let me know what you want, more importantly, so I can make sure to get you the right shirt so that you can sport that bad boy. Samantha Burrito did those for us. And truth be told, one of the biggest concerns I got about this shirt inventory problem was that we didn't get any of the ones she wanted. And I want to make sure, of course, that she and her parents and her friends have RRXI shirts that they can sport. So working on that. And let's see. So don't forget that if you want to get in on that. RRXI, of course, was our birthday party for our 11th year of service to the Todd community. All right. If you are interested in any of the remaining Todd stocks, there are two left. There have been two. Both have been huge successes according to attendees and based on what we have been able to see with photos and videos. They both look fantastic. Good time. Very different. Both of them. One was in Scotland. One was in Virginia. So one was a very large crowd. One was a smaller crowd. So a lot of differences, but regardless, the theme was the same, celebrating Todd's birthday and having fun with fun people. So you got two more chances this year. You have them both in October. One of them is in Australia. It's called Totaru. And the other one will be in California at Camp Navarro near San Francisco, San Jose area. And the way to find out information about that is www.toddstock-2018.com. I did see somebody ask a question today, as a matter of fact, about, you know, if they were registered or not, if they'd sent their money, yada, yada, yada. So if you didn't hear me way back when I tried to tell everybody, if you want to go, you can go, listen to me this time. These two are not sold out. They're not probably going to sell out. So if your check hasn't been cashed or you're not sure if you're registered or not, just book your flight. Come on. You'll get it worked out with Michelle eventually. She's a busy person. She's vacationing. She's been touring with Todd. She's got a restaurant. You know, at the end of the day, if you got the money and the means to get there, you can go to Todd Stock West or Todd Aru. So I know Gavin was on our show last week. He's definitely interested in people going to Todd Aru because they don't have a whole lot of fans in Australia. So if you can pull that off, make it happen. Don't forget, if you call in tonight, Gil included, press 1 so I'll know that you want to talk. That may be him right there. I'm going to check and see. So that we know that you want to talk and ask Gil a question and say hello, that type of thing. So let me check, see if this is him, and if it is, we'll get that party started. All right. Gil, is this you?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to
Kevin Long.
I can tell. Tony Soprano, what's up, dog?
Well, I was on hold for a while, but Catherine talked to the end, so I didn't get to squeeze in. But I just wanted to – this isn't anything to do with tonight's topic, but I just wanted to say to everybody that has sent me cards and all the stuff that you guys did at the Cleveland gathering, making the little cardboard heads of my face and all the well wishes and prayers and thoughts and everything that I got from this community was just overwhelming and just got me through a very tough time. And I just wanted to come on and thank everybody really quickly and let them know that I'm doing well. And I appreciate everything that you guys have done.
Well, Kevin, we're glad that everything has worked out for you. I know that was a scary situation with your hospital visit, and we were confused there for a while, didn't know what was going on, and I'm glad that everybody's showing you the love, and you're back at work and doing well.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be playing in a couple of months and get back on stage and start creating more music and all that stuff, but
yeah,
I
know you missed.
So sad to miss the fan band in Cleveland.
Fan bands at Todd Stock. Well, you know what?
To miss Todd Stock.
It's evident that the fan bands are not going away. That's going to be something that is going to be happening at more and more parties and Todd events probably. So it's, you know, there's going to be more opportunities. You know that.
I hope so.
Well, we'll make it so. Don't you worry about that. what is it next? I guess I don't know what 12 is. What is 12? Anyway, we'll figure all that out. XII, maybe, I don't know. All right, so, yeah, we'll do that. Cool beans, man. All right, we'll appreciate the call, Mr. Kevin. If you
all
want
right.
to call back and talk to you, feel free to do it.
Thanks. All right, see
all right,
you.
Peace out.
Night.
Kevin Wall, everybody, if you don't know, big fan, leader of one of the tribute bands. Always involved with that. Had a little heart scare, but managed to, I don't know what you want to call it, good karma, luck, somebody looking out for him, whatever, but man, that was a close call. Glad to have you back with us, Kevin. All right, let's see. 971, is this Gil by chance?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Appreciate you calling in, talking to us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Still, I guess it's still daytime where you are, pretty much.
Yeah.
Portland.
Still pretty bright out here.
All right. So let's get started. We're going to Mel had to take a break. It's her birthday night, so it's going to be me for a little while, and then we'll have some people call and ask you some questions, if that's all right. And, you know, I'm going to start. I want to dig a little early, and then I'm sure people are going to have a ton of questions about the Utopia tour, but before they get into that, I would love to know a little bit about this situation where you somehow ended up at Rebop's house or apartment at some kind of venue he has. I heard it's called Moulin Rouge now. You know,
yeah.
How that happened? How did he find you, or did you just end up there with some friends? And what's that venue like? You know, the kind of background on that story.
Yeah, I just pretty much ended up there. You know, the Portland scene is pretty small. So, you know, all the musicians kind of know each other. And I played there with a good friend of mine. His name is Amit. He's Israeli as well, and he goes by his stage name is The Secret Sea. I play with him quite often. He does like a kind of folk thing with like classical guitar and finger picking. And yeah, we played a gig there. We played some of his songs, and it was Rebop's place. I hadn't met him before, but that was the first time I met him. And
how many?
You know, I didn't know he was Todd's son. I didn't really know too much about Todd back then either. But you know, we just chatted a bit, and that was it. You know, it's not like I knew him very well or anything, but thankfully, I guess he liked what he heard and recommended me to his dad.
That's awesome. Well, how many people go to this type of deal at his house?
It was pretty nice. You know, it's not a huge room, but it's pretty low key kind of thing. And you know, there were maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 people there. I can't remember the exact number, but it had a really cool, you know, vibe to it. I think he's on a break now, but for quite a while he was like hosting these shows on a regular basis, and he did a really good job with that. I don't know how he did it. Like, I would never want lots of strangers going to my home, but it
yeah.
worked for him.
Well, it's just an opportunity to play, though, you know? I mean, that's what people want to do, like you, I know.
Yeah,
and I saw you played the ballroom.
Sorry, what?
So I saw you played the Crystal Ballroom there in Portland. Todd's been there before. That's a cool venue.
Yeah. I played there a couple of times, actually, and the last time I opened for a band called The Avalanches. We're kind of like a hip-hop kind of group, and they were really good, and I opened for them. It was fun. What I was going to say is that the house show scene in Portland is quite, it's a thing, you know, like people do a lot of house shows here, which is, I really like it. I enjoy house shows. It's a very different kind of experience, you know, to like being on a stage and playing, because when in your typical show, there's really this kind of separation between the audience and the artist on stage. But at a house show, it just feels like everyone's together, you know. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, do they charge a cover fee like a bar would do?
It, you know, it depends on, you know, every person does it differently. Usually they'll have like a little jar for donations, or they might charge a cover fee. Really depends, you know, on the person who put it together and on the artist.
Mm-hmm. So how did Avalanche, how do these other artists, they find you online? Is that how they do it? Or did you just know them?
You know, it really depends on the, every show is different. For that show specifically, it was, if I recall correctly, I think it was the venue that reached out, and they thought, or no, it was not the venue, sorry, it was the promoter who reached out, and he thought I'd be a good fit for that. It's usually when you're asked to open for an act, it's usually either the venue or the promoter. The artist usually doesn't deal with that, although that has happened as well, so
yeah.
It's hard to tell.
But it seems like, and it's obviously deserved, we got to see that during the Utopia Tour, but that you show up and within a couple of years you're all over the place, all into the scene and playing with people like T-Pain, Todd Rundgren, opening for acts at the Crystal Ballroom, you know. You've made a big splash pretty fast.
Oh, thanks. Well, that was my goal when I moved here. You know, I knew it was going to be all about music and about doing my own music and also playing with other people and hopefully trying to make a living doing that. So I was very focused, very motivated. I had, you know, a lot of experience from my own home country of Israel. You know, I've been involved in the scene there for over a decade, so I had experience there, and I knew kind of what to do and what the right steps to take were. And to be honest, though, I did not expect things to move so fast, and I'm just very happy, and I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that I've gotten.
Yeah, we're glad you came over. So you got an EP out in 2016 called The Pressure. And are you interested in doing mostly solo stuff, or you want to get in a band? What's your long term goal, or do you have an idea which one of those you prefer and want to do?
Well, for my own music, I would like to have a band, and that's something I'm right now I'm planning to put together a band in the future. I'm working now on my first full length album.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that'll be released, I plan on putting together a little band, because playing solo is fun as well, but it gets a little lonely sometimes. Just touring on your own or just being on stage on your own all the time. I like having the company of other people, and also, you know, the ability to augment your sound with more instruments and stuff. Even if it's electronic, there's a lot you can do with, you know, like a real drummer on stage and a guitarist and even another person with a keyboard, or, you know, there's a lot you can do with more people on stage. So that's something I want to do for sure. And then other than that, you know, obviously I play a lot of other people.
Yes, you'll go out on tour. I mean, you want to go out on a tour with some new stuff here eventually then, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Right now I'm you know, still in the creative process. I'm still creating the music for the album, so it's hard to tell, like, when I'll release it and when it'll be done and you know, what kind of tour I'll do. But I definitely want to tour with it and promote it on the road. So that's definitely something I'm working on.
Awesome. So do you like singing, or if you did a band, would you want somebody else to sing, or is it mostly just instrumental? How does singing play a role in your music?
Yeah, I do sing my own music. My new album will have some instrumental tracks as well, because that's something I've been doing more of recently. If you've seen any of my latest videos, a lot of instrumental stuff, which I've been having fun with. So the new album is going to have a little of both. But I do sing my own songs for the most part. I would love to work with more, you know, other singers as well in the future, but right now I'm just kind of doing my own thing.
I gotcha. Very nice. Be your own owner of your own business. Always good. So, have you?
Yeah.
Was this the first time you'd been on the Kimmel Show? Is it your first television appearance, like major national television?
Major. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of TV shows in Israel, and I've done all kinds of, like, local things here in Portland. But, no, Kimmel, definitely the biggest thing I've done on TV so far. And it was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. That's a pretty big deal. So that's cool you got to do that. I'd love to get into the conversation about what the music scene is like over in Israel, but I know we want to get into some Utopia stuff, and we got some people that want to call and ask questions, but maybe another time. So, I got one more question of mine, and I got a couple of people that ask on Facebook, and then we got a caller.
Okay.
Speaking of recording, were there any talks of recording any music with Todd or Utopia in the future while y'all did the tour? Or Chasm, maybe?
You know, I wish I had good news for you, but the only thing that Todd said was that once the tour is over, we'll kind of look at, you know, they will look at, you know, at the numbers and stuff, and just see how things went, and see if that it was financially sustainable and all that, and then they or Todd will decide what to do next. He didn't say that it'll never happen, but he did not say that it is going to happen either. So
mm-hmm.
I would love to work on new music with them. I would love to go out on tour again. It was really fun. But unfortunately, I don't have any other information.
I got you. I figured you did. I just was curious, you know, if that might have been something. At least he kind of mentioned there may be something. That's cool. They do have to, you know, we get it. We we know there's a business side to it and other things, and Todd's got all kind of craziness going on. So, but, man, it sure would be great. There's a lot of people talking about it. They'd love to see you be involved with that. And everybody would love to see the tour again. So hopefully you will have another opportunity like that. Everybody's a big fan, obviously. The questions I had on Facebook, and so we'll get right into the Utopia here. Sue Berry wanted to know, what Utopia songs did you like to perform the most during this tour?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we played the exact same set 33 or 34 times. So every night there were different highlights for me, and some songs that maybe at the beginning of the tour I enjoyed most, you know, then were less interesting for me later on in the tour, and other songs suddenly became more exciting. You know, it changes every night, but I guess if I had to pick a few songs that I consistently like really loved playing, it's Communion with the Sun. I just love that song, you know, from the first time I heard it. It's like, it's just jam packed with so many cool, elements from like the, you know, just the songwriting itself and the lyrics and the melody to the amazing harmonies. And, Todd really blows me away with like, just his ability to harmonize so easily. You know, when we were rehearsing, he just kind of remembered all the vocal parts just like off the top of his head without even like having to listen again. He was just like, okay, you sing this, you sing that, you know? it just comes really naturally to him. Like, he can really like see the big picture and hone in on every individual part, which is really cool. So yeah, but that song in particular, and also like all the cool like synth stuff that's in it, and all the stuff Roger did, which is really awesome. So that song I always really love. And there were others like songs that I maybe did not expect to enjoy as much. And the second set actually became like favorites because of the way the audience responded. You know, especially in the second set, like people would get more excited and enthusiastic and, you know, stand on their feet and dance and stuff. So songs like, Hammer in My Heart and Love in Action, those were really like highlights every time.
A lot of fun stuff. Somebody did a survey on Facebook and Communion with the Sun was the favorite song of the tour for most fans, not everybody, but that's it's interesting that you liked it as well. And of course, we loved seeing the Ra Pyramid and the Sphinx and all that in the background. That was pretty cool, especially when people got to see the day.
I did see the old video from like the 70s of Todd climbing the pyramid, and I think he was insane.
Yeah, exactly. That was a lot of fun. So she wanted to know, too, your best moments of the tour. I guess you could go on all day on that. But, you know, maybe a couple of highlights of the tour that you really enjoyed.
Well, other than the shows themselves, which are always, like, highlights, I really love just hanging out with the guys. Willie is a great guy, and we really, like, hit it off. I think we've got a similar kind of sense of humor. And it was just fun hanging out with him, whether it's in the bus or you know, just going to grab lunch together. And let's see. You know, we got to see some really beautiful places that I hadn't been to before. Like, I was never in Florida before. And even though it was, like, really hot, it was beautiful. Let's see what else. The LA show was awesome because a lot of cool people came to the show. I got to meet some really great musicians like Steve Vai and a few others as well. So that was a highlight as well.
Yeah, that LA, those shows always do pack in the stars and the suits and all kind of people from over there. The bloggers, all that kind of fun stuff. All right, so we got a caller from Florida, speaking of, Catherine Sauer. She's going to have a ton of questions. She's our constant question asker. I think she's writing a book about everything, but anyway, I'm just messing with her. All right, so Catherine, without further ado, you're talking to Gil.
Hi, Catherine.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. Hey, Gil, so nice to speak with you, and thank you so much for what you brought to that tour. It was amazing watching you. I only got to see the Florida show. I live in Florida. And so everybody seemed to be in good health by then. I think that was the fourth or fifth show.
I think that was before we got sick.
Was it before you got sick? Because I thought Chasm sounded like he was ill in one of the first couple of shows, no?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember, but later on in the tour, Todd got a bad cold, and then I got it as well.
Oh, I was wondering about that. What do you do? What do you as a singer do when you're ill and you have to perform? What do you do? How do you get yourself prepared for a show?
Well, luckily, you know, even though I was singing quite a lot, it was all like, you know, backing vocals. So it wasn't too bad. And thankfully, like the range, most of the stuff I was singing was really high in the falsetto range. And the cold didn't affect that range as much as like my lower register. So for the most part, it wasn't too bad for me. But on the other hand, for Todd, it was really bad, and I think I'm just really I really admire him for being able to just push through it and you know, still give his 100% every night, even though at one point he almost completely lost his voice.
He was amazing, you know, and for those of us who have followed him for decades, we've seen that. We've seen him push through things, and I felt like this tour, he really just shone. Is that the word, right word? That's the correct tense. He shone through the whole show. He really gave it 110% every show that I saw videos from, and I really appreciated that.
I mean, I was sure that he would cancel some of the shows. There were, you know, there was a point where we had like three in a row, and already in the first show he almost lost his voice. And I, you know, I was sure he would cancel the next one because, like, how is he going to do it? But, you know, he never even considered that. He just pushed through. And I think that the audience, you know, even though obviously his voice was not at its best those nights, but, you know, they still admired him for just being brave enough to go on stage and do that anyway, you know.
Yeah, and seeing Utopia get together for the first time in many, many years was such a treat for so many of us. Communion with the Sun was my personal favorite. And I have to tell you, every time I saw a video, I love that part when you just look out at the audience. You've got one, your right hand is playing the keyboard, and then you're looking at the audience like, yeah, I got this. I got this.
Yeah, that was
fun. I loved his joy.
That was fun for sure. Because, you know, that part, you only play it with one hand, so I had to do something with my other hand. I just ended up pointing at the sky.
I loved it. I thought it was really unique and just so much fun. It just looked like you were having a ball, you know, which was great for us to see. We were so happy and grateful that you saved the tour.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I got a couple of crazy questions, if you don't mind.
How
long have you been in Portland?
That's not a crazy question.
Well,
what's crazy?
I've got to follow up.
I've been in Portland for 2.5 years now. I moved at the end of 2015.
Okay, so how many plaid shirts do you own now?
How many what? Sorry.
Plaid shirts do you own?
Oh, actually, I'm not into those. I'm not into those.
North Face jacket.
I am teasing.
What was that?
You got a North Face jacket? Rain jacket?
Nope.
North Face brand?
Nope. All I've got is a bunch of boring clothes.
And so are you and your wife churning your own butter? I'm teasing you.
No, not even close.
I rarely even cook our own Portlandia. I mean, these are all references I'm making to Portlandia.
Yeah.
Have you found that some of that to be somewhat true?
Some of it, yes, for sure. Obviously, it's very exaggerated on the show. And
of course.
And it's funny because most people here hate that show because they blame it for, like, all the people who are moving to Portland.
Yeah. It's become kind of, the prices have really gone up in real estate there. I've noticed that. That's for sure.
Yeah,
It's
becoming more and more difficult for artists here to to survive. So that's a bit of an issue.
Oh no! I'm sorry to hear that.
But I mean, that happens in just about every developing city. So
that's
just something that people have to deal with.
Say it again, Doug.
I said, like Nashville, that's happening in Nashville. It has been, you know, recently. And, of course, L.A.'s always been.
It's happening everywhere. Yeah.
Especially East Nashville. I mean, that's been really up and coming for a long time. Have you ever been there, Gil? Is that a place
No,
you
I've
ever,
not been to Nashville yet.
Well, I hope you get there someday. They have some amazing music going on of all different types.
I know. It's definitely on my list.
You mentioned that you will be, you know, taking your new album out on the road with a small band. Are you talking like what kind of instruments are we talking about here?
You know, I'm not sure yet because I haven't finished writing all the music for it yet. So it'll depend on the album itself and what instrumentation I use on the album. I would definitely love to have a drummer and a bass player and a guitarist. So it'll at least be a 4-piece band.
Okay.
But there are so many other, factors, when you book a tour. So I don't know yet. It really depends on what kind of backing I get for the album as well, you know, if I'll release it on a label or not, or and the timing and all that. So we'll see.
Well, you seem, just from the little that I read about you, you seem to be a very serious businessman. You have your head very straight on, you know, on straight about how hard a business it is that you're in. Is there any chance of you making any connection with Cherry Red Records because of Todd's connection? Did they express any interest in you yet?
Well, no, we haven't discussed that at all. So who knows, maybe, you know, but right now I'm just trying to create the music itself and I'm focusing on that. So, I'm leaving the business part of it for a little later until I at least have a few tracks done. So, but that could be a possibility.
I hope so. Why not? I mean, it is a business of who you know and who can help you. And I think with such a splash that you made with the band, they were so impressed. You know, Todd and I think Chasm said, you know, he knows the music better than we do. You know, I think they would, it seems to me they would be happy to help you. I hope so. Speaking of, any chance of a collaboration, of you being doing a collaboration with Todd on his next album, which is sort of an extended White Knight 2?
Well, you know, if he asked me to, then I would be glad to collaborate with him. but that has not come up.
It hasn't happened yet. I thought, if you met Steve Vai, because I heard Steve Vai is going to be one of the collaborations on the next one. Well, we'll keep putting it in anybody's ear that we can. Let's see. I had another. Oh, you mentioned, I promised Doug I'll cut my questions short, but you mentioned that you admired about Todd the fact that he's able to see the big picture, which I think is one of his gifts that he brought in even as a young musician. But now, you know, 50 years later, it's been honed to a pure science. Do you also have that about your own music? Do you see the big picture with your own stuff?
Well, I definitely try to see the big picture, but you know, it's something that you kind of learn with experience, I think. And also, because the music business is just so unpredictable, it's hard to always, like, see the big picture. Sometimes you have to also be flexible and just, you know, see where the road takes you. Mm-hmm. But always, yeah, I'm always thinking, you know, at least a year ahead in terms of my plans and stuff. So.
Well, that's impressive. I like that. Gosh, there's one more question I wanted to ask you. Shoot, let me see if I can find. Oh, yeah, here it is. The last question, I promise. Having been on the road with the guys and learned this music with, before, which you were not familiar, have you found any particular aspect of their music coming into your newest creation?
I definitely was very inspired by the harmonies in Utopia's music, and that's something I want to incorporate more of in my own music, but I still have to find like the right place for it, you know, because I have obviously a different sound. So, but that's something that has definitely inspired me. And also a lot of, I'd say like the original synth sounds and the, and Roger stuff, that's also very inspiring. And, you know, even if it's, even if I'm not consciously thinking about it, you know, all that has influenced me in some way.
Lovely. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, thank you so much, Gil, for listening to my questions and answering them so thoughtfully. I appreciate it. And I look forward to following you on YouTube. Have a good evening.
Well, thanks, Catherine. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Catherine. Appreciate the call and all the questions. Excellent. Hey, so did you... I know you met Ralph. I saw the photo. Did you ever get to talk with Roger or meet him? Did he come to the San Francisco show or anything?
No, unfortunately, I did not. I know that he's not feeling very well, so he couldn't come out to the show. And I would still love to obviously, you know, meet him, talk to him. But if the man needs his privacy and space right now, then. You know, I think just everyone should just respect that.
Sure. Let's see. All right, so we got next caller up is CLB from Wisconsin. CLB, what up?
Hi. I know.
Hi.
Now, see, I talk like you because you're, like, from the South, and I'm not. And hi, Gil.
Hey.
Met you a couple times on the road. Catherine asked just about 96% of every question I was going to ask you. But I'll try to bob and weave a little. When she mentioned you're playing with one hand and turning out to the audience and just like the level of confidence that you showed us, that was something that really struck me. I, you know, would have been like mortified. You had 2 weeks of rehearsals. Can you give us an idea of how you worked through absorbing and learning what you needed to do to go out there and slay us with that confidence?
Well, thanks. Well, I got to say, though, that confidence also kind of came with time because on the very first show, I probably wasn't as confident as the 30th show. So when you're playing the same music every night, you know, you get more confident and you get better at it. So I guess you can just loosen up.
It was just fabulous to watch the new guy who you'd assume he'd be like acquiescing. And Todd, you know, to watch him when you were doing your solos and he would just stand back there and close his eyes with a smile on his face. Yep, the kid's got it. it was amazing and very, very gratifying to watch. So part two, I don't think Catherine touched on. Have any opportunities from that tour presented themselves to you? Like people just coming out of the woodwork going, hey, Utopia keyboard guy, come do this with me and blah, blah, blah.
You know, nothing too big yet. I get quite a lot locally, so I keep getting opportunities here. And, you know, I'm sure that eventually I'll get another opportunity to tour or something like that. And
I just was thinking, because of the Todd Utopia connection, somebody like old like us would be like, boom, you have to listen to Phil Thornalley's Astral Drive. Have you seen that on some of our?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he's
man.
Fantastic.
Ooh. So third part, if I can remember, and I don't think Catherine touched on this. Doug, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't really answer your first question, so I could do that if you want.
About the confidence and how you learned and assimilated all that in 2 weeks?
Well, you asked me about the process of learning this.
Yeah, go.
So I just wanted to say that the rehearsals themselves were very relaxed and very they were a lot of fun. Like the most difficult part was learning all the stuff on my own before the rehearsals, before I even met the guys. So because I had, like you said, very little time to learn all the material. But once I actually got together with the guys, we started rehearsing, it was a lot easier because it was, they were pretty relaxed about it. It wasn't too intense. We took a lot of breaks and didn't work for too long every day. And I thought it was just really the perfect kind of pacing for that.
Very cool. Did you hear the quote when Todd heard that Ralph was not going to be able to tour, like right before he's, found you, he was going to walk into the ocean. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah, I
was like, holy crap. You've got this major tour thing and all of a sudden we need a keyboard player and we, all of us, and Todd and the band are just like bowing down, thank you, thank you. You came out of nowhere, really, as far as we were concerned. You were on other people's radar, but holy cow, how you did save the tour, really. So we're forever in your debt. And my third part question was, do you have a manager?
No, I do not have a manager yet.
Doug, remember how I said I was going to put you on the spot? Doug! So, yeah, I think Rundgren Radio needs to, like, get a stable going, and Gil's the first one. How about that?
Don't get a manager.
Stay
away.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I know great things are going to, just keep happening for you. I'd do your astrological chart if I believed in that stuff. But, yeah, you are a blessed child of Utopia. And thank you so much for, helping us manifest our dreams of 30 years. and best to you always and your family. And hope to see you at Camp Navarro in October. Come on down.
I wish, but unfortunately, I have other stuff going on.
All right, CLB, appreciate the call. So we got, and I am keeping track of time. I know you are busy and have to go after a while. I've got somebody closer to your age than me and CLB and the rest of us. So we got the somebody you probably remember pretty well. So I have to meet and greet.
Hey,
Lizzie is. What's that?
Lizzie.
Hey guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
How you doing?
How's it going? I'm good. I'm back from Scotland now. I'm actually at home now, taking a break from the road for a hot second.
No, you're crazy. You're on the road all the time.
Yeah, you should see, like, all the unpredictable shows that I'm buying tickets for.
Wow.
I might hate myself at the end of it, but we'll see how it goes. anyway, yeah, it was, I'm stoked that you're doing this. I was great getting to meet you out on the road and everything. I was going to ask you what the weirdest thing a fan asked you to autograph was, but I have a feeling it's probably something I brought.
yeah, definitely that barf bag. Yeah.
I have that framed on my wall now,
I know.
Forever.
So, yeah,
okay, but I do, I do have a really important music related question I have to ask you, very serious, very important. Who is your favorite Spice Girl?
Oh no, I don't even remember their names. That goes to show you how much how big of a Spice Girl fan I'm. What was the name
like
of the blonde
band? The Baby Spice.
Big Baby Spice.
Compared to the soccer player, how about that name?
What's that?
Yeah, I don't even know all of them, to be honest. Baby Spice,
I know
Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham, yeah. I don't like any of them, sorry.
All right, well, that was very enlightening, and I appreciate your deep musical thoughtfulness about that. That was all I had. I just wanted to call in and say hey.
Who's your favorite Radiohead member?
Oh, my God. Can I phone a friend? Actually, I have a friend who's a big Radiohead fan, actually, but I can't say I've ever listened to them.
Okay.
Not really my jam. Yeah, sorry.
Well, I've never listened to Spice Girl, so there you go.
But we came together over Utopia, so that's really all that matters.
Yeah, hey, and thanks so much, you know, for being so awesome and supportive. It was really...
You got it.
Really awesome.
You got it.
You know?
Anytime.
And
yeah,
I hope we run into each other again in the future.
For sure. If you come down and play in the Bay Area, I will force all my friends to come out to your show.
Awesome. I definitely will. I've been there before with my
awesome.
Solo project, and I'll be back. Yeah.
Great. Can't wait.
Bring it.
Good talking to you, man.
Yeah. You
bye, guys.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I think there'll be something in her future for Sandy. I got a good feeling. All right, so since you did ask about Spice Girls, let's ask more serious. Who is your favorite musician or favorite kind of bands that you like?
Well, the question I asked her kind of gave that away. Then.
Radiohead. All right. Well, I don't think Spice Girls are her.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know where that question came from, but
I either.
You know, it's Lizzie, so she can ask me whatever she wants.
That's right.
I love Radiohead. They've always been one of my favorites. What other bands? You know, other like Brit rock bands from the same kind of time period, like the early 2000s stuff, but like Muse and Editors are a band that I liked a lot.
Muse.
But yeah, I love them. What's that?
I saw them open for U2 one time.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Muse, yeah. Well, now they're huge, but they were a big influence on me, and they had a big influence on me. And what else? You know, there's a lot of older stuff I love, of course, like the Beatles. You know, who doesn't like the Beatles? And,
Beatles has got problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also grew up listening to classical music and jazz. So there's so much great music out there that I love from every era.
That's good. That's great. So we got a few more callers, but I want to ask you, I kind of bet it probably wasn't a big topic of conversation, but in Utopia's history, Todd had a guy named Dave Mason, not the one of Traffic, that co-wrote Utopia theme, and then a guy that we still don't really know exactly what he was doing, named M-Frog. Did y'all ever have any conversations about those two guys on the tour bus or anything?
I know about M-Frog's, tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
I even heard about, I don't even remember who told me about it, but either I read about it or one of the guys told me, but I think actually I talked to Todd about it at one point, and he told me about the tour that they put together and that he unfortunately passed away during the tour.
Well, the M-Frog, Dave Mason passed away a couple of years ago. But Improg's still around, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
So.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was.
Right.
He was like a. I don't know what they cut. They maybe sent. They called him maybe, but he just had this giant machine and was supposed to be somehow contributing to the music with these knobs and whatnot. And some of the old Utopia guys are kind of like saying he didn't do a whole lot, but then some people think he did. Then he came out with his own album. So anyway, M-Frog, check him out sometime. Frog LeBlanc.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was embarrassing. I'm sorry.
No worries. Now I'm curious who you're talking about.
Sure.
Dave Mason did pass
away.
He was
a guy.
Yeah, he's a Dave was a real nice guy. We had him on the show one time. No worries. All right, so let's go with New York, I believe. 917.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yeah, I
yes,
can
hey,
hear
Don.
You.
Hi. Hey, hi, Doug.
Hey, man. Hey,
okay.
Don,
hi,
hang
Doug.
On one second.
Hi, Mel. It's not there. This is Don Slovin. How are you?
Hey, Don. Don, hang on.
Yes.
So, Gil, somebody just texted me. I don't know why I didn't think about it. You're talking about Moogie Klingman, who's also a keyboardist with Utopia. And that was the story where they toured, and that is a sad story. So that's that's what you're talking about. Moogie,
yeah.
Moogie was, got them back together for a tour back in 2011. And unfortunately, he passed away before he got to go on that tour. But he did get to do two shows with Todd. So it was
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
There's a good story
with
that. Yeah, no worries. M-Frog's pretty obscure. You got to really know your Utopia history and know who that guy is. All right, Don, you're back, baby. What's up?
Yes, I just want to flip it just a little bit. Gil, when I heard that you were actually playing with Todd, I happen to be happy to hear that you're an Israeli kid. And I kind of want to reminisce. I lived in Israel. We might not be the same age and the same social group, but I'm just kind of wondering, where was your hang? Do people know how difficult it is to be able to get instruments in Israel, et cetera, stuff like that?
Yeah. You said
you
lived
in Jerusalem,
Israel?
Right?
Yes.
Did you go
Where
to Clay Zemer? Where
Sorry,
are you
what?
Buying your instruments from, Clay Zemer?
Oh, either Clay Zemer or there are a number of other stores as well. Like, I don't know how familiar you are with them, but there's Marum and some others as well.
Yeah, now my reference is about 20 years ago, so it's a little bit, all that stuff. Are you like in the Anglo-Saxon mm-hmm. community? Did you go to Jacob's Ladder?
No, I don't know that place.
What
I'm
clubs are you playing
that.
In?
In Jerusalem?
Yeah.
I don't know if actually any of the same clubs that were around 20 years ago are the ones
yeah,
that I played
there.
In. I think the one
there.
Is the Yellow Submarine, the Tolele.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually did an album yeah. there. What about Mike's Pub?
Which one?
Mike's Pub.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean Mike's Pub? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, and also like close to like the Russian compound, all those bars around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. That's like the Anglo-Saxon, like where a lot of Americans go to hang out. That one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're. Are you Anglo-Saxon? What's your reference in Israel?
Well, my dad is. He is South African American.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah, I grew up speaking English at home. My mom is Israeli, but I was never really like part of any specific community in Jerusalem. I had my own friends that I grew up with, and I was part of like the local music scene and the Tel Aviv music scene. But...
And who are some of the guys you used to hang out by?
I'm sorry, what?
Who were some of the guys that you hang out by?
Guy
okay.
that I'd
Let
hang out
just,
with.
Do you know Libby?
Libby? Which
Libby and a band called Benzene.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about them, but I do not know them personally.
Okay, all right, just wondering. That's all. I'm just so excited that, an Israeli kid is playing with Todd. Now, you do know there is a Todd scene there. It's a very small one. You go to Tower Records, and there's one record there.
Well, there's no more Tower Records.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, Don.
Tower, I know. It's gone. I know.
You're out of the loop, brother.
It's a long time ago. Like I told you, I'm old. But we used to actually sit there in Cabarella, as a matter of fact, and we used to listen, if you will, to the stuff. We would put the two speakers as close to our heads as possible and actually play it as loud as possible on Shabbat. That's that was the connection.
That's awesome. When did you live? For how long did you live there?
About 12 years.
12 years. And you were
played a lot of music there and all kinds of stuff.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Sweet.
All right,
well,
Don.
Thanks for calling and asking the question.
Hey, man. Don,
huh?
Don did a was on one of the Todd albums when they did a fantasy camp. He played the penny whistle. That's
oh, really?
Don Slope. Yep. So we got another call from New York. 845, you're with us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
It's Chris Cirillo.
Hey, man.
What's
How's it going?
Going on? Okay. So I just had an amazing experience. I was there for the first show over at Penn's Peak in Pennsylvania. And it was my first meet and greet. It was a gift for my 50th birthday from my wife and my concert wife, Karen, and my wife, Victoria. And it was, instead of throwing me a big party, this is what I wanted. Gil, I don't know if you're going to remember me, but I was the first person you met in the meet and greet, and I said, welcome to the family.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, if I see you, I'm sure I'd remember you.
All right. Well, I do have one question, and I'd like to know if the guys gave you any preparation of what to expect when you meet these crazy fans of Todd's or Nutty Community.
Sorry,
are you prepared for the fans? Were you prepared for the fandom of the Todd world?
Yes, I was, actually. I definitely was. They gave me a heads up. But I thought that everyone was really super nice, super supportive and respectful, and I was just happy to meet all the amazing fans. So I did not have one bad experience with a fan. So, you know, it could have been worse.
That's
yeah.
awesome. I've been a fan since, you know, a big fan since 85, and I never got to see Utopia. I did have tickets to see a show, but my ride crapped out on me, and I ended up losing all that money and that experience. So seeing Utopia there 38 years later, or however much longer it is, you know, it was like the biggest thrill. This whole thing is in my top five life experiences, man, and I got the whole community to thank for it. And Gil, we're so happy that you're here and hearing the icon and communion with the sun for the first time live with this band. It's just it blew me away, and I can talk for hours and hours and hours about how it felt, but I'm not going to do that.
No, thanks, man.
Appreciate the call, brother. You were at Penn's Peak the first show, man. That was a lot of fun. What a fun night that was. What a cool town.
Yeah.
I know that was kind of y'all's deal, so it was probably nerve-wracking for you.
Yeah, but, you know, we were prepared. We were prepared, and I'd been living and breathing that music for a month by then, so I was ready, and it was an awesome experience.
Yeah, do you remember anything in specific that you were told about the fans? Catherine wanted to know, and your warnings from Chasm and Todd.
Chasm likes to use the word rabbit.
That's true. Yeah. I go with cultish.
But,
all right.
No one, you know, everyone just had this great things to say about the fans, and cool. Like I said, everyone was so nice that, really, I was just happy the whole time.
You probably won't meet a better group of fans and a more rabid group of fans, I would argue with, too. Okay, so we got two more people on hold. Gil's going to be with us. He had to bolt out in about, let's see, where are we here? About 10 minutes, so hopefully we can knock us out. I'm going to go, I'm not sure where this is, 617. You're with us.
Hey, it's Grady.
Grady, here we go.
Hi,
what's happening? Our third guy caller. Awesome.
How you doing?
Hello?
Hey,
hi.
Grady, go ahead, man.
Hello. Oh, there
Hello.
You are. I didn't, yeah. Gil, great to speak with
Thank
you. I just have a couple of quick questions, and I'll get out of the way. first, I would, though, like to say how wonderfully you filled the gloves. A lot of people talk about filling the shoes of a job, but in this case, you needed to fill the gloves because all of those keyboard parts are so exacting. They're so clinical in a way. And you did such a wonderful job of playing all of those really, really hard parts.
Thanks.
The question that I have related to that is a lot of those parts require your fingers to do a heck of a lot of moving really, really fast. And some keyboard players, after years of playing that rapid-fire stuff, start to have problems with their cartilage and stuff like that. And I was curious, after all the years that you've been playing, you're a youngster, but you've still been playing for quite a while. Have you noticed any problems like that? And if so, what are you doing to help keep your hands in good shape?
Are you a keyboard player as well?
I was a keyboard player in the late 60s, early 70s in a southern rock band, yes.
Okay. Well, I have had, like, some, you know, issues over the years, but thankfully now I'm all right. And I try to, first of all, take breaks when I'm practicing. That's really important. Do stretching. And I think the most important thing is just to stay as relaxed as possible. Even when you're playing something difficult, try to do it with the least amount of tension in your body and your arms and your fingers as possible. Because the problems usually start to happen when you've got tension in your body or just, you know, a suboptimal technique.
Gotcha. Well, but you don't, for instance, have a special vitamins or things that you take to try to help with the possible joint problems that might develop?
No, you know, I think that if you play with a proper technique, and at one point I did. Like a few years ago, I did have issues, and I actually went to a classical teacher who kind of, looked at me play and gave me some comments and helped me correct some things in my technique. So I think that's a big part of it. People develop problems and injuries are not playing with a very good technique, or there's a lot of tension in their playing. And I think that if you play correctly and you take breaks and you warm up properly before you're playing something difficult, then you should be fine. I mean, I've seen a lot of pianists even who are in their 80s who are still amazing players, and you know, just because they have good technique, you know, they never had any issues. So.
Great. Well, thank you for that very good answer to that question. And the only other question that I have is Gil the entire name, or is Gil short for something larger, like Ed is short for Edward?
No, it's the entire name. So Gil in Hebrew, Gil means happiness.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes on Rundgren Radio with me, and thank you so much for doing such a great job of bringing Utopia back after all these years.
Oh, thanks so much, man. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Good night.
See you. Hey, Grady, don't be a stranger, buddy. All right, so let's see. All right, folks, we got him just for a few more minutes, so let's get to the business. We got a lot of callers. Gil, you're a popular guy tonight. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah, no.
All right, 2-1 with us.
Hey, it's Terry Moore.
Terry, what's up?
Hey, Terry.
Wanted to call in and tell Gil, like a lot of people that I'm sure are listening tonight, I saw pretty much every incarnation for the most part of Utopia, and wanted to say that he did just an unbelievably incredible job. Wanted to pass that along. I was curious, since you mentioned being impressed by a lot of Roger's work, if you were familiar with his solo stuff that he did as well.
One person, and unfortunately I forgot his name, but if he's listening, you know, maybe you can remind me. One person gave me one of Roger's CDs, Air Pocket, which is one of his solo albums,
right,
on the tour. And, you know, I didn't have a way to listen to it on tour because I didn't have a CD player with me. But once I got back, you know, I put it in my car, and I've been listening to it quite a lot ever since. And it's fantastic. I love it. So thank you very much to the person who gave it to me. And I'm sorry I forgot your name.
One of the other questions I had was, being, you know, obviously the new guy on the tour and anything, did they play any tricks on you, give you any sort of initiation that you had to go through at some point in time during the tour?
No, not really.
No, wow. No, you got off easy then.
They're not in their 20s anymore, so.
Well, that's true. And then just real quick, I was really intrigued. I mean, Don touched on some of it, but I'm really intrigued as far as, an explanation of what the music scene in Jerusalem and Israel is really like. I mean, I'm assuming you moved to the States to kind of expand on your own personal music, but if you could give us a quick kind of overview.
Well, Jerusalem actually doesn't have a very big scene, unfortunately. The bigger music scene in Israel is in Tel Aviv, which is, you know, it's a tiny country, so Jerusalem and Tel Aviv are just like a one-hour drive apart. So. Tel Aviv has a really cool music scene, a lot of amazing musicians in every genre. You know, you've got amazing jazz musicians, a lot of them who then move on to New York and become very successful in the jazz scene.
Cool.
A lot of really good, you know, songwriters and rock music, both in Hebrew and in English. And it's just been growing recently. A lot more artists are kind of making it outside of Israel as well, which is cool. So it's got a really cool scene, you know, especially for being like such a tiny country.
Right. Was there a lot of opportunity for you to play your original music?
You know, I didn't really, I had a band in the past, and it was kind of different from what I'm doing now. But, yeah, we used to play quite a bit in Israel, and we'd also tour the States. But I didn't do my solo stuff until I got here. So, you know, I haven't really looked for any opportunities there. But, you know, I'm sure I'll be back and I'll play a show eventually. But, here I just think there's a lot more room for growth, you know. It's a lot easier to tour here in the States as opposed to Israel. Like, you can't really tour the surrounding countries. So if you want to tour, you have to plane and go somewhere else.
Right. Well, hey, like I said, I think you made a lot of big fans with the Utopia tour that'll be keeping tabs on what you're doing in the future. And just wanted to say, thanks again, and wish you all the best in the future endeavors, and we'll definitely be keeping tabs.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the support, and thanks for calling.
All right, cheers.
The tall man, Mr. Terry Moore, big prog rock fan, so he loved that show, I can promise you. All right. Gil, we got a couple more calls, but I know you got something going on, so I'm going to give you a chance to depart if you like, or if you got a couple more minutes, we'll take a couple more calls. Up to you.
I've got a few more minutes. Okay.
All right, let's make it happen. So we got, that was Illinois, I believe. We've got another Illinois caller. 847.
Hi, so Doug. Illinois. Hi, Gil. This is Susie from Chicago. How are you?
Hey, Susie. How are you?
Good. I saw the show in Chicago and the Milwaukee show, and everything was great, and what everyone said was wonderful. Fans were so happy. Are you ready for a serious question?
Yeah.
How was the tour bus?
How was the tour bus?
It was a long tour, but serious.
a lot of laughs from the tour bus.
So, two buses, one bus?
There was one bus for the crew and one bus for the band. So, you know, we were on the, you know, we had one bus just for the band and our tour manager and Michelle. And it was awesome. You know, we only had it for like the first leg of the tour, and then we ditched the bus and flew from one place to the other, the other leg of the tour. But it was fun, and you know, we had a little room in the back with a TV, and every night Willie and I would watch a different stand-up comedian after the show.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, well, let some of the callers come in, and thank you. I really enjoyed the show. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks,
Susie.
Have a good night.
Bye, Gil.
Bye.
Chicago, I forgot about that. You're going to be on a DVD. Is that going to be your first official DVD you'll be on?
Yeah. Do people actually still own DVD players?
Oh, yeah, we'll buy it. You guarantee. It's oldies. We buy DVDs. Yep. Yeah, they sure do.
All right. Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. I haven't heard it.
I don't think it'll be on Netflix or anything for us. I mean, if it is, we don't have to buy the DVD, but I can rest assured it will be out on DVD. Yeah. Hopefully you'll have a device you can watch that on. All right, so we got one more call. We got South Florida, Miami area. So I'm not sure who this is, but Dade County, you're with us.
Hey, it's Eddie Zine. Hey, Gil.
Oh, hey, Eddie. How are you doing?
Can't believe that I missed you in the Fort Lauderdale show backstage. I don't know how I did that. I saw Fernando made sure he got a picture with you.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Next time.
Anyway, later that night I told Todd, I said, Gil is like a gift out of the blue for you guys. He's incredible. Todd said that you came into rehearsals knowing the songs better than they did. And at some points during rehearsal, you would point out that a chord was supposed to be some other chord, and they go, oh, yeah, you're right. And I thought that's pretty telling on your homework, man. You did a really good job of figuring out all that stuff. That must be crazy.
Well, thanks. I mean, some of these songs, like, they hadn't played together in, you know, over 30 years. So I don't blame them for forgetting a few little things here and there. And I was like living and breathing that music for, you know, that whole, like, the 10 days before that.
You guys did great on the Kimmel show. You look like you were having a ball. you had an organ.
What's that?
You had an organ solo.
Yep, in One World. Yeah.
One World. And then the trap that's online. Todd did one of his best guitar solos I've probably ever seen, which was just, that made me feel great. Here's another thing Todd said about, he said that, you know, those lines you're hearing a lot on the keyboard, on the recordings, they're really made by like some kind of sequencer. Like you put one finger down and the computer inside the keyboard plays about, you know, up and down four or five notes, right?
Arpeggiating,
and played them all by hand.
Actually, I did use an arpeggiator on some sound.
Oh, well,
there's some parts, like, for instance,
something?
Like Utopia. What was that?
Did you do some things that were arpeggiated by hand?
Well, I tried to keep it as as true to the recordings as possible. So for instance, in the Utopia theme, there's that arpeggio that goes, you know, goes on like throughout the whole second part of the song. And that's
right.
An arpeggiator. It's a very specific
right.
sound. It sounds like super mechanical, and you need that. So
evenly spaced.
Yeah, exactly. So I used an arpeggiator on my Prophet for that. And then other songs where Roger would play the stuff by hand, like Communion with the Sun, I played it by hand as well. So I tried to stay as true to the recordings as possible.
Well, he was really impressed with your abilities, man. And so was I, and so was every one of the Utopia fans. So you, like I said to Todd, I'm telling you, you were a real gift to the whole tour, man. So kudos,
man.
So
thanks,
I hope to
Eddie.
See you next time. If you ever come back to South Florida, then I'll make sure I don't miss you, man.
All right. Yeah, I'll be in touch if I do.
All right, buddy. So wish you best of luck with all the stuff you're doing right now. So, and again, we all love that you did the Utopia thing, and thanks for coming on Doug's Rungan Radio Show. It was a treat.
Okay,
thanks.
All right, thanks, all right, Eddie. Have a good night.
Thanks. That's a good all segue. Right. Perfect close there. Eddie's on. He said everything that needed to be said. Everybody has made sure that you know that we loved that you were on this tour and how great it was, and we appreciate that. Appreciate you being on the show, and maybe we can do it again sometime.
All right, Doug. Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you to everyone who, you know, called and all the support and kind words. I appreciate it, and I hope to see you all soon again.
Yeah, when you get that new album out, we'll get back on and do a little promo.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
All right, man. See you. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right,
bye.
Everybody, you listening to Rungan Radio? That's Gil Glasses, if you don't know. Touring keyboardist for Todd Rungan's Utopia in 2018. Out of the blue, discovered by playing at Rebop's venue at his house in Portland area. Recommended by Rebop to Todd. The band checked him out, were blown away, and the rest is history. All right, what a nice guy indeed, Catherine is saying in the chat room. Yes, he is. Appreciate all the calls tonight. Y'all know I needed the help since Cruiser Mel celebrating her birthday. And I appreciate that a lot. And I know Gil does as well. I think, that the guests love to hear from the fans and know that people out there are listening because you can't really see. So it's great when people call and talk to them and show the love, which everybody did a great job of. So that's all we got for Gil. I'm going to talk about a couple more things that we did not discuss. Got somebody still on? Hold on a second. Let me get rid of that. Let's see. Okay. All right. We got that fixed. All right. So let's see. If you don't know, if you don't read our newsletter, there is a nice tie-dye Todd Stock shirt available at the Todd Store, toddstore.com. Hopefully they're not sold out. I don't know if the Todd Scott shirt was available or not. If you were at Todd Scott and you want to call in and tell us a little bit about that, we would love it because we do have some time. We have about 36 minutes if we want it. Or if you have some unfinished stories from Todd Stock East, more than happy to listen to those. Or if you have any inside scoop on Todd Stock West or Todd Aru, we will listen to that as well. So there you go. Again, if you're interested in those Todd Stocks, it's toddstock-2018.com. If you don't know and you're on Facebook, be sure to check out the Jesse Gress page that Janice Marie started. It's a cool group showing the love for Jesse Gress. We love Jesse Gress is the page. Mary Lou's been active in it, I've noticed. Lots of great pictures of Jesse, Todd's touring guitarist, former editor of Guitar Player magazine, and one hell of a nice guy, as y'all all know. So let's see. What else did I want to make sure y'all know? Cannot forget this. I don't know if he sold out. I guess if he was, he'd let me know. But there were some unsigned tour books available from the Utopia tour, which that probably would have been a good question to ask Gil if he wanted to be in that book. I mean, you know, by the time it was out, it was too late. They're $25 unsigned plus shipping. SharpK@AOL.com. That's Ken Sharp's email address. He will give you shipping and ordering information. The tour book is 60 pages. Tons of pictures, interviews, Todd, Chasm, Willie. I think there's some commentary from Ralph Schuckett in there, probably some others. A lot of history of Utopia. It's a cool little tour book, it's a cool big tour book, much bigger than your usual tour book. So if you're interested in that, get them before it's too late. The only ones you could get at the concerts were signed, and they were $50. So in a sense, it's half price. All right. This link's too long, but just Google it if you want. Or go to the website lp.reverb.com. There's a great interview with Todd about production techniques and studio philosophies if you're into that kind of thing. If you loved Paul Meyer's book, that's the kind of talk you're going to get, the techie stuff and some other good things. Really good interview. Check that out. And I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover. And hopefully we'll have some more information for you, or you'll be able to find it on this Bowie show in L.A. in October. So all we know is that they're going to do it, and Adrian Blue's in the band. So there you go. All right, so I'm going to check, see if I got any callers that want to talk about Todd Stock or Todd Scott. I do not. So if I don't get some soon, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Hope you enjoyed Gil. I'm going to do a quick commercial. Or promo, I'd rather call it. And if anybody wants to call in again, 646-716-9262, press 1, and we'll talk about Todd Scott or Todd Stock, or we'll just wait till another show. All right, here we go.
Do you like your Todd a little obscure? You know, live recordings, productions, unique recorded Toddities. Well, me too. If you're like our over 2,000 existing members, then come and join the Todd Rundgren Obscure Recordings Facebook page. I guarantee you'll hear something you've never heard before. Come on. Let's get obscure.
All right. Facebook. We've been talking a lot about Facebook tonight. So that's a Facebook page, Rogers Obscure, Todd Recordings. Always interesting stuff on there. Cruiser Mail, happy birthday to you. Hope to have you on the next show we do. So we don't know when that will be, but I will say we have some stuff cooking that will interest you. That hopefully we can talk about, I don't know, maybe in a few weeks. And I guess that's about all I got. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed Gil. We'll see you on Facebook and other places. Rock on.
It's every Todd song ever made and then some. Live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the world.
I can't stop running, I can't stop running.
It's all Todd, all the time.
Hello, it's me.
Hi, I'm Todd Rundgren.
The Todd Rundgren Music Channel on ToddFans.com.